Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for staying on. This is a team of the people. I'm the PI. I have no conflicts to disclose. The study was funded by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Startup Funding. Today, I will talk about the HIV prevalence in Kenya, focusing on economic vulnerability as a primary driver of HIV, and then talk about some of the approaches that have been used to address that and whether they're really working, and finally look at support groups. Kenya has really, most of the people live in rural areas and they depend on agriculture for their sustenance. 43% live on less than $2 a day, while the unemployment rate is 40%. 1.6 million Kenyans are currently living with HIV, and that's about 60% of the population in Chicago, in terms of perspective, making Kenya the fourth largest country with the highest population, fourth highest population of HIV worldwide, after Nigeria, India, and Southern Africa. 53% of Kenyans who are HIV positive do not know their HIV status. Of the 100,000 Kenyans who got infected with HIV last year in 2014, 49% are women. Women are more at higher risk of contracting HIV in all age categories compared to men. In the 20 to 24 year bracket, there's a 4% difference. They are four times more likely to be HIV positive. And when you go up to the 35 to 39, there's a 7 percentage point gender gap between men and women in HIV prevalence. Systemic theory that has been tested variously has shown that the relationship between violence, alcohol misuse, and sexual risk behaviors, both directly and indirectly, as risk factors for HIV. What has been studied is the role of economic vulnerability in impacting HIV transmission or infection risk. And that's what my study is about. So I recruited 72 people from rural Kenya, 52 women and 30 men. The women, I had them in 12 focus groups, 7 women and 5 men group. The groups were equally divided between HIV positive and HIV negative or unknown status. Considering that 53% of the population don't know their HIV status, if somebody says they are HIV negative, they could be HIV positive, but they don't know their status too. 81% of them were currently married, 69% had the elementary level, education level, and 69% were farmers by the virtue fact that they were recruited from the rural areas. The key result from our study, we asked them a lot of questions about the role of each of the four risk systemic factors. But we found that economic vulnerability is a primary driver of sexual risk, alcohol abuse, and violence. And we know that all these factors are associated with HIV. So I will focus on the qualitative findings. Economic vulnerability is not just poverty. It's a multidimensional concept that includes economic windfalls, economic loss, and economic strengths. So I will define what that is in this slide here. Economic stress is really the inability to meet basic financial needs. We're talking food, shelter, clothing. Economic loss, on the other hand, is the risk associated when a family experiences sudden economic loss. And so they engage in behavior to elevate or maintain their standard of living. The last one is economic windfalls, which is the opposite of economic loss, where the risk behavior is associated with a sudden influx of funds into the family that increases their purchasing power so that they can purchase more goods and services, including sexual networks. Women responded very different to economic vulnerability compared to men. And the next couple of slides, when we talk about the quote, you will see how that happens. We also found that the most common type of economic vulnerability is economic stress. And I'm going to give a few scenarios of how economic stress is associated, either directly or indirectly, with HIV risk. Economic stress directly affects sexual risk behavior when we talk about the desire for basic survival. If you think about a woman who is faced with the choice between food and sex to feed her family, she is not even afraid of getting HIV because it's a much distant risk compared with the risk of starvation. A mother who is looking at her starving children might elect that one, the little girl, becomes a prostitute so they can have food for the starving siblings. Very tragic. For a man, the economic stress looks very different. They are likely to get violent. Here is a quote, when it's translated in my mother tongue, is very funny. When you hear a man saying there is no communication in their house, it's a quote to say money is in short supply. In other words, if the wife asks for money for clothes or shoes and there is no money, there cannot be any peace in that home. If you look about economic stress as a vicious circle that starts at the top where the man has no money, and so the first thing he wants to do is to run away, and alcohol is a safe refuge. So he runs to get cheap alcohol. With only 20 cents, he can get one drink that will guarantee him instant drunkenness. He'll have to forget about his worries. He doesn't have to worry about whether the children have school fees or whether they have any clothes. So their family is pretty much abandoned. As a result, the wife is stranded and doesn't know what to do, and she finally gives in to the sexual advances of her neighbor just to pay the bills. When the rumors finally get to the man who is drunk, he drinks even more to drown his sorrows, lying to himself that he's still the man of the house, while another man has taken over his household. And the cycle goes on and on. This is one quote that I've dramatized. At the center of that is economic stress. Economic stress can also take a very tragic turn. For this 23-year-old dad, 6 weeks ago, he gave up his life because he could not raise $100 in the U.S. currency to pay for his preterm child's medical bills. He chose to take his own life. Very tragic. The next type of economic vulnerability is economic loss. We're talking about a family that suddenly gets their standard of living goes down. A woman is very likely to engage in adultery to maintain or even elevate her standard of living. This is not behavior associated with economic survival. This is over and above economic survival. The last kind of economic vulnerability is when you have an economic windfall. Suddenly, in the agricultural zone where this study was done, we have tea bonuses every September. And so what happens is that just before the bonus is announced, girls flock into the area to cash on the bonus. Prostitution thrives, and so does STDs and HIV risk. So you might be asking, what is being done to address these issues? The major one is alcohol. Alcohol is a phase of economic vulnerability. Women have risen up in arms to pour, to do something to address the alcohol problem. Left by the, one of the members of parliament in that picture, they are pouring out beer and spirit and really rejoicing, very excited by the prospect. The president of Kenya has declared total war on alcohol brews. We're talking about a secondary brews that cost 20 cents. You can see the administration police on the lower side pouring out that liquid, which looks horrendous. But it's very powerful in delivering instant drunkenness. Are these solutions working? The simple answer is no. As you can see, it's not working. These solutions do not get to the heart of the problem, which is economic vulnerability. But the good news is that support groups can help. They can help, and they are helping. So I'll focus on the findings from one of my focus groups that was youth, young men, who provided the following quotes. The first one is that support groups are a major source of funding for a country that has very poor access to financial capital. Support groups can be a very good alternative. As you find with this man, he and his wife have joined different support groups, and what they do is that they combine the monies together, and they're able to do bigger projects, and they're able to get very fast help. So that's important, financial support too. On the other hand, you remember the man who took his life when he could not meet the medical bills. If he was part of this support group, if a child is sick, members from all your groups come together and raise money for hospital bills. This is very important in a country where there is no health insurance coverage. So the support group provides that kind of coverage. Lastly, support groups, especially this men's group, are a major source of peer influence. If they notice that one of their members is not coping well and they are getting into alcohol and drugs, they will warn them and tell them to seek support from their peers. That is much, very, very powerful social sanction against this kind of behavior. The key takeaways from my presentation is that we need to explore how support groups can be better used for HIV intervention and prevention efforts. We already see that they are a major source of financing for projects. They provide a social buffer in terms of economic and even health crisis, but we could explore that some more. The next one is multi-level interventions need to deal with alcohol and even violence, and especially the financial communication between men and women when there is financial hardship. We saw a couple in their last couple of slides that they came together and were able to raise money from different groups to be able to address their financial challenge, and we need to be able to explore that some more. Lastly, economic empowerment programs need to include men. Currently, there's been a major focus on women, you know, and men are pretty much ignored by the system. So it's important that we do those things. Thank you very much.